Morning. Hello. Is it morning? It is for us. It's morning for me and Hugh. Welcome to another episode of Horizon Scan. How are you, Hugh?
I'm excellent.
Is there a delay or are you just half asleep?
It was a delay. I didn't understand what you said and I realised you were talking to me.
Okay.
Like, who else would you be talking to?
Exactly. Yeah, so how are you? What's the gen?
I've got a mild cold. I will mute it when I sneeze.
Okay.
Unless you think it would provide listening value to your podcast listeners.
I don't care.
For me to sneeze? Do you reckon that's a fetish? There's got to be a fetish there somewhere where people like sneezing.
Really? Why would it be a fetish?
Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday and we were talking about feet and the person reckoned that a foot fetish is really creepy. And I was like, it's pretty common. Foot fetish is pretty common.
It is pretty common. I don't think that it can still be creepy. It's common or not.
It depends if the fetish is over strangers' feet.
Yeah. There's a guy when I was at P Company on the staff there. There's a guy called Gav. I don't know if Gav listens to this. Hi, Gav, if you're around. He was well into it. He was into shoes and feet. Like chicks in high heels and like looking at the feet. That was his thing.
Mm. I'll tell you another thing. I was having a discussion with the same person, right, who is female. And they were talking about the differences in saunas. Like,
okay,
she's used to saunas where it's just women only, right? Yeah. And they go in there in the nuddy, mate, like full naked. And then she was recounting.
Are these Brazilian saunas, are they?
Don't, what?
Are these Brazilian saunas you're talking about?
No. Saunas everywhere. No. Anyway, talking about how they will casually look, women will like casually check out other women's punanis just when they're not looking to see what they like. And I was like,
yeah, dudes do that to each other as well.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Because I'm talking about old dudes in the gym. Maybe you guys. I don't check out other dudes.
There's a difference between checking out and going, oh, if everyone's walking around naked, you see penis, don't you?
Oh, you see penis. There's a difference between seeing penis and checking the penis out deliberately. Oh, let's have a look at that. That looks like a good one.
I think I kind of think there's a difference between like being scared to look because like shit, I'm looking at that guy's dick that might make me gay, and just you know, it's I don't know, it's like an over fear. If you know what I mean, I've been in changing rooms and gone fucking hell, that guy's dick's huge.
Yeah, but that's a casual observation, right? But I don't intently go in. Oh, naked man. Let's look.
But do the girls do that? Are you sure the girls are doing that? Or are they just going, oh,
I'm not saying all. I'm not saying all girls do it. But you know what is weird? Do you know what it is? I do find uncomfortable. I do find it slightly uncomfortable, I'll admit. The generation above us and the generation above them, old dudes, they just knock about naked. Like, I'll knock about naked in the gym as I need to, if I need to. Maybe it's that towel off to the locker, which is near me, and then back. They just cut about naked. Like, it's as if they leave it for as long as possible to put any pants on, any boxer shorts on. Knock about, they talk to each other naked. They just, it is a generational thing amongst the old
What age range are you putting on this?
What?
What age range are you putting on this? As in like
60s, 70s.
What age upwards?
60s, 70s, 80s. Yeah,
I think the difference there, I don't necessarily think it's a generational thing. It might be. I think it's just that they're past giving a fuck at that point. They've got bigger shit to deal with. You know what I mean? They're just not thinking about, there's no self-consciousness there. You've been alive for that long. You know you look like shit anyway. Who gives a shit? I think that's what that is. So it's lack of fucks.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because when I get older, I'll be like this. I ain't going to be one of those old dudes knocking about my tackle out, my grey hair.
You don't know that. You're not that old yet.
I do know it. I've just decided to prove you wrong.
Okay. Well, I'm never going
to
be.
I hope you're allowed to see it.
Locker room with you naked, so. I'm not going to find out. It's a very odd start for the conversation.
Yeah. Well, when you are here
in what? How many days do you turn up here? 10 days? 2 weeks? I can't remember when you're coming.
Yeah, but about 13 days, something like that. Like
13 days. Okay. Well, you can come to my fucking spa, and we can sit fully clothed.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it is not like that here. Everyone wears clothes, so it's not. Maybe they do in private ones, but in the spa that I go to as part of my gym, it's dudes and kids and chicks, and everyone wears clothes.
Yeah, I've only been to one place where the saunas are segregated, and that's at a. It's a, the gym chain that I'm part of. All of the ones are mixed, apart from one of the branches in London that I've been to. And I can understand it in London for obvious reasons, because it's a built-up population. There are more morons around, and it's higher risk for people getting pumped when they don't want to get pumped.
Mm-hmm. The last gym I was part of was it was segregated. The saunas were in the changing rooms. But yeah, for the previous one before that, it was mixed.
So yeah.
Okay.
I've got lots of sauna stories. I have lots of sauna anecdotes, mainly about people I don't like who come in and act like I don't like. That's it.
Okay, let's fucking talk about that. Tell me a thing you don't like. I've got one that I don't like. You go first.
Well,
sorry to start off like this. We're not talking about what we normally talk about. We're talking about people checking each other's fucking dicks out. We're talking about sauna etiquette.
It's a great place. I live in Essex, right? And it's a great place to easily identify men who are really insecure in themselves sometimes. So
why do you specifically want to identify them?
I don't want to. I don't want to identify them. I don't. They identify themselves. They identify themselves.
Okay.
So, an example.
Not targeting weak men.
No, they identify themselves. And I'm not saying I'm a strong man. I'm not saying I'm not insecure sometimes, but I definitely don't broadcast it by walking into a sauna and then feeling like I need to talk to everyone immediately. And then when there's an uncomfortable sight, when there's a silence, then you have to feel the need to break it by saying words. No one's talking. And the last time this happened, it happens regularly in Essex, in the gym I go to, in the sauna. And the last time it happened, everyone left the sauna, right? So when I go in the sauna, I close my eyes. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't make eye contact. I'm in there to relax and meditate, what I go in there for, and feel pain and get the benefits of heat shock therapy, right? Everyone leaves. It's me and this guy in there, or they already identified, had some insecurity issues. Everyone leaves. I've got my eyes closed, haven't talked to him at this point, and he just starts engaging me in conversation. He starts trying to talk to me. I'm not looking at him, not doing anything. I'm like, oh, God, annoying. I engaged him, but one word in him, like trying to signal, I don't want to talk to you, but also not by saying, I don't want to talk to you, because not to be rude. I'm British and polite. Then 2 days ago, I'm in the same sauna. It's busy, okay? The sand timer, you know, you flip around for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever's on it. It's got maybe 3 or 4 minutes left, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. It's like getting towards the end of the sand. This unit walks in. He's late 50s. Unit, we're talking, you know, loads of tattoos. If you saw him, you would stereotype him as football hooligan, construction industry. That may be incorrect, right? But tattoos, unit, bald head, big guy, right? Massive hands like spades. Walks in, sauna, evening all. No, it was morning. Was it morning or evening? It was evening. Evening all. So try to think. So immediately walks in and says that. I'm like, you don't do that in the sauna. It's like, shut the fuck up and walk in. About 2/3 of people say hello. Oh, hi, mate. I didn't say anything. Sit there. Comes in, looks to the right, looks at the timer, says, oh, that's nearly finished. Let's restart that. Turns it round. Someone in that sauna was using that timer. He didn't ask.
Yeah.
He said, does anyone mind if I reset the timer, which has got a significant amount of time left on it? two or three minutes doesn't sound like a lot. It's a lot when you're doing 15 or 20.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And he just fucking decided, took it upon himself, flick it round loudly as well. I said, oh, turn it round. Turns it round, sits down like it was totally fine. I wanted to strangle the guy. Wanted to strangle him. Like, now, I feel like that's a combination of him. He's a bellend, but also it's like insecurities there.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he feel self-conscious because he's massive? Does he feel self-conscious because he knows he looks different? Does he feel self-conscious because, I don't know, mommy and daddy didn't treat him right? But it's not the way, I did not like it. Again, self-identified as a bellend. Walk into sauna, folks, and be quiet. Be quiet in saunas.
It's two ways of like that same insecurity, isn't it? The first guy who can't do, I mean, I'm the king of the awkward silence. I adore them because I can do it. Like, I'm basically a bellend. Like, I can come across as incredibly rude because I'm entertaining myself with how uncomfortable everybody else is. And I've had similar experiences in saunas that you have. Well,
I think that's called being a sociopath, guys.
Well, my missus does say that I'm a fucking sociopath. But there you go. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I don't care what people think. No, not in a dickhead way, really. I don't give a shit about the opinion of anyone who I don't, you know, have a reason to respect. And everyone gets a base level of respect and politeness. I'm not a dick in that with respect. But the average dude on the streets, I do not care what you think of me. I'm not bothered. So yeah. But two guys doing the same thing. You've got the guy who can't deal with the uncomfortable silence, so has to say something. And you've got the same thing. You've got the guy, or a similar thing, the guy who comes in and feels that he has to dominate the space because he's insecure. That's all he's doing. He's going in. He has learned that he can deal with any uncomfort he has in situations by going in. And he obviously has the fact that he's a big unit. Was it a cultivated big unit or was it a natural big unit?
Natural. Natural big unit.
Natural. Okay. Natural. So... yeah, so that's slightly different, maybe. But yeah, he's learned that's what he does. He can go in, he can dominate the space, and then maybe nobody fucks with him.
Yeah. Now, when I say go into the sauna and be quiet, I mean that's wrong. I mean, go into the sauna and read the room. If you're a chatter, but no one's chatting, don't go fucking chatting. Unless someone's making eye contact with you. We're not in a weird way. You're like, okay, you can get it. But you don't have to start a conversation. Interesting one on that big guy, right? So I'm just thinking there. Like that, the need to dominate the room. That could be a self-defense mechanism. That is not necessarily in the sauna, but he's developed. Like I've got an uncle who is a fucking unit. And I mean 6'9", but not skinny. He is a unit, natural unit. Like, used to play American football here in the UK. He's that kind of absolutely like he's like the fridge, mate. He's massive.
Yeah.
He told me years ago when I was old enough to start going out drinking, I go out drinking with him sometimes around Staines, which is where he lives. And he was saying that he would get targeted when he was younger because he was a unit and people would try and pick fights with him. Because they would feel threatened by his size. And he is the nicest, most relaxed bloke in the world. But people would start on him because they'd feel threatened. And then he'd be in the middle of a scrap all of a sudden, which he didn't start. You know, maybe it's the same thing with that big guy. And maybe it's a dominance thing because he's overcorrecting for stuff that's happened in the past or stuff that he perceives correctly or incorrectly.
Yeah, that possibly. Happens, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, men, the dynamic of men is weird. But I don't think that takes away, like, coming in and going, all right, guys, or whatever. That's kind of fine. Don't mind that.
Women have the same thing, though. Yeah, well, women can have the same thing, but for different...
Get into fucking the psychology of women, because, Jesus Christ, we've only got an hour. We're very different.
Well, in the way I think the equivalent...
That's what we are. We don't do things the same. I was trying to make a point, and I was going to say that it doesn't take away from the fact that he was just rude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Coming in and going, mate, and just dominating and like seeming friendly, and all that to maybe take the edge off anything that you were talking about with me, or people maybe trying to be aggressive with him or whatever he's had in the past. It's still rude to go in and not ask. So perhaps it just, I mean, from that example you've given, I think you've just got to say perhaps he's just a dick. And there's nothing else there. He's that guy particularly, he's just a bellend. So
yeah.
Go on then.
Yeah,
talk about women.
No, it's all right. Let's talk about current events.
No, I was actually going to... Look, this is the first time we've spoken about anything that isn't fucking...
Immigrants.
Like, yeah, immigrants and fucking all that shit. That fucking... The state of the world can perhaps wait for fucking 5 minutes. We're talking about, you know, men's issues and stuff like that. And
yeah.
That's probably a more... It's a difference. Well, let's talk about something different.
Well, I think the equivalent of the women's side, maybe we developed like a defense mechanism that is perceived to be antisocial, can be when you are very good looking. And people will laugh, people would maybe laugh at this, but I think that for women, it can be an affliction to be really good looking, like total affliction, because of the way you get treated. Because so I think on the one hand, good looking people have it easier than not so good looking people do. In a number of ways, but it can also be really fucking bad depending on where you are, where you grew up, what kind of industry you're in, which country you live in. If you're really good looking, especially on the women's front, can you imagine being a woman really good looking and you grew up in a place, could be in the UK, could be somewhere else, could be whatever, where you are constantly getting chatted up, blokes are constantly trying to win you over. It must make it extremely difficult to be able to read things correctly, to be able to progress in a way that you don't feel at all because of the way you look. You know, a lot of stigmas that come along with that. And you can, because you get really good looking women who seem really arrogant or really rude, like closed down. They won't engage in conversation. I think that kind of thing is sort of the similar self-defense mechanism as a result of bellend in the sauna. It's like they're trying to maybe keep that bullshit behavior from men away in order to just get on with life like they feel they should do it in a normal way, like gender agnostic. Make sense?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I say, it's difficult to talk about because we're not women.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I can imagine it must be a bully. Like if you are... I mean, I'm sure that, well, we do have female listeners to this podcast, so maybe they can, there's an opportunity for them to tell us if we're talking shit. I don't know how hot any of them are. Maybe they, who knows? But it must be, if you are, well,
nothing.
Like, if you are a particularly attractive woman, and for example, you get to some position in your job or in what in your career, like you are always going to have people who assume that the level of attractiveness that you have used in order to get where you are. You will have those people, and that's a fucking.
It will play a part. Well, this is a lot of the time.
This is what I'm getting to. Like, I think it's this. Humans are humans. Like human behavior, like natural human behavior, it kind of is what it is. Like it's, and that works for male and female. I mean, I'm sure there's loads of stats on this. I'm sure if you look at research on this, attractive people tend to do better, just generally. I'm sure they do. And unless they have some sort of, you know, personality trait that completely lets them down and undercuts their attractiveness. So if you are a reasonable human being and are deemed to be physically attractive, people will cut you slack. And a lot of the time, whether you like it or not, they are cutting you slack because maybe you're fucking. That's just how it is.
There is that. On both sides. There is also, there is that, but there is also it's like an evolutionary thing that we develop in terms of the laws of attraction, right? And the reason we're attracted to certain things. So we are attracted to physical, and different people are attracted to different physical traits, but in general, there is a general box that indicate that we see as attractive, and there is a general box that we see as not attractive. There's a list of traits in there, list of traits in there, there's crossovers, a gray area, there's a scope, right? But we like, so one of the reasons we see, one of the reasons we are physically attracted to people is because we see a non-physical benefit, a non-physical, it's probably non-physical things, things that you can't see about them that are also really good, because the physical attributes are an indication of that. Physical attributes are an indication of the health of your genetics, of the quality of your genetics. Yeah.
Some people really won't like this conversation.
Probably the main example. Physical attributes are also an indication of short-term, like little medical status, health. How ill is that person, or how healthy does that person look? Yeah. But the physical indicates, the physical or physical attributes can also indicate generally cognitive ability. Now, I am saying this as evolutionary. That's how we perceive it. Now we know these. That, you know, we know now that that is not all, that that doesn't mean that people who are on the less attractive end of the scale are fucking idiots, because we know that's not true. I'm just articulating how like the attractions evolve. I've read a bit on this because I've read a bit on it. As I'm sure I've mentioned it before, I've read a bit on like the evolution of attraction and how it all came about. It's fascinating stuff. But the things that we, the way that we are intrinsically, and the things that we're attracted to, and why we're attracted to them, is not necessarily as relevant today as it was back in the day, you know, and we play, and we have a much better way now of judging and assessing how, you know, how good of a mate someone is going to be, not just based on their physical appearance. You know, we put a much higher value on the non-physical things as well. Once we discover, and that's where we take time, it takes longer now to form a relationship. We chop and change between partners much more than we used to, because we get with someone and then we learn more about the non-physical traits about them. You know, are they a bellend, for example? You know, are they generous? Are they kind? Are they loyal? And you learn as you go along. And then we go, huh, these things I don't like. I'm going to leave this partner, find another partner. And that's why that happens, because we like consciously we evolve, but internally I think that was physical attribute. We haven't quite evolved to where we need to be now. Although I don't think it will be much of a digression from one of us previously. You want someone healthy. You want someone who's probably going to live long. You want someone who's not got immediate health issues. You want someone. You want someone that appears to have, on average, good genes. You know, and you want those because that means that your offspring are more likely to have, they're more likely to survive and have a good life. That's it. It's not like selfish stuff. Like, oh, you just want an attractive person who looks really, who is healthy and is active and all that, because that's just what you think society wants you to have. No, that's what I want, because it means I'm probably going to have healthy offspring who are going to live long and do well for themselves. That is why. That is why.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the, a lot of that is the unconscious stuff. But then there's like signaling of like somebody who is fit and healthy. There's parts of that that tells you about the character. Certainly as you get older. So obviously when we're all young, when we're all in like our early 20s, it doesn't mean quite so much, because everybody is reasonably, unless you're a fucking, mind you, I don't know what it's like nowadays actually. But when I was in my early 20s, so 19 to 20, 21, that sort of thing, most people are in reasonable shape. They haven't fucked themselves up yet. Things haven't got hard yet. When you are in your 30s, approaching your 40s, if you are seeing people who are in shape, fit and healthy, who obviously take the time to go to the gym, look after themselves and try and keep themselves fit and healthy, because, you know, I know this, you know this, we're old men now. We're made of dust. It's fucking stop. No, I don't. I'm taking the piss. Jesus Christ. Like, is it more difficult now to stay in shape than it was when you were in your 20s? Does it take effort for you now? Are you going to, no, I'm just fucking superhuman Welsh genes. I'm just fine. Okay, fine. Good for you. It's not like that for everybody. For me,
I agree.
If I do not, yeah, you're lucky. If you do not look after yourself, you will go to shit as you get older. So if you
Sorry.
So if you are in shape at our age And if you're looking around at people of a similar age and they are in shape and you obviously go to the gym and all that sort of thing, what that tells you about them is that they have a certain level of discipline and they have their shit together enough and their priorities sorted enough to be able to take the time to do it. They haven't just accepted the fact that they're going to waste away. They've gone, no, I have the agency to do something about this. Now, when I see, personally, if I see a girl who goes to the gym and takes care of her appearance and all that stuff, I might like the end result of it. I might find that attractive. But it's more attractive to me, really, that she's got her shit together and she cares about that stuff. That, as a character trait, I think that's more important. And we see that in all sorts of things, like with degrees. Obviously, degrees probably aren't what they used to be. But the reason what your subject matter and your degree doesn't really matter that much unless it's purely vocational. You're just proving that you can go through the system. You're proving that you can learn and you understand how the education system works and can complete processes that are useful in theory, maybe not nowadays, in the outside world. It's the same thing. We infer lots of things from other things.
Yeah. What are we going to say? I go back on what I said earlier. It is harder to stay fit because I get injured more.
Yeah.
Get injured much easier. And so I have to chop and change what I'm doing. Whereas I just didn't used to get injured this much at all. Mental at the minute. Mental over the last 2 years. Constantly doing something.
I mean, we're maybe not good examples as me and you, because obviously we were, whether you like it or not, we were brainwashed very young into this being, you know, a huge part of our character. Now, it might have been there naturally anyway. I'm sure you played rugby and stuff when you were a kid. I played it at school. But I think a lot of I could have gone a different way, personally, just talking from my experience. Like, what Power Edge did to me is just that. It brainwashed me into needing to be physically capable. Now, I have a certain level of ability. I've always, like, endurance-wise, I've always had that. And I'm lucky my endurance, even when it fades, comes back very quickly with a little bit of training. So, you know, I have reasonably good genetics in that area, so I'm lucky. But, you know, maybe we're not good examples for this, but certainly as you get older, things happen to you, and you have to accept that and make changes to your lifestyle, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I think it's different for me in fitness way. So what I obviously need to be physically capable. But the main thing I took away from my experience of Power Edge, but other people will know this from just being in the military, right, who have done anything where there's a decent fitness regime in your unit, is that I noticed over the years I was in, my cognitive ability, how sharp I was impacted when I had prolonged periods of no fizz, like 3, 4, 5 weeks of leave where I didn't bother doing anything. And generally, I wouldn't bother doing anything on leave, maybe some rugby, right? But my cognitive ability would definitely become less if I went 2, 3 weeks minimum without fizz and I'd become less sharp. I'd just feel soft in my head. And it was like noticeable. It was like generally noticeable. And that is lesson that was over years of going through the cycle and then reflecting back and going, I feel like this all the time on leave. And then when I go back to work or when I start doing fizz, I don't feel like that. Okay. And that's what I realized. And when I left, it's the same thing. Realized it when I was working away, when I left the military. And it's the same now, which is like the two main reasons I put so much effort into staying fit are, one, cognitive ability. Two, I want to be around for as long as I can for my kids. You know, yeah. And this helps me, and being active and fit reduces the risk of illness reduces the risk of serious illness. Doesn't eliminate it. I could fucking croak it next week, but it reduces the risk, you know.
That's only how I feel. I feel exactly the same. Like, I am not myself. If I go through periods of not doing my kind of fitness or whatever, I feel like shit. You know, and you're absolutely right. I do. Your brain feels sluggish. I just do not feel like me. I know what me feels like, and it's exactly the same. But the exact same reasons that you just said. Over time, I've noticed that, and I'm amazed by it. I think there must be There must be a lot of people who do, who just don't think that much about themselves and pay attention, and so they don't notice that kind of thing. That's the only reason that people, well, that's a reason that people end up just in a bag of fucking milk, because they just don't, yeah, they're not paying attention. They're like, oh shit, when I was doing this in the past, I felt like this. You know, I'm sure you, obviously, you must have done the same thing talking from what you just said. Like, I kind of will experiment on myself in that way. So I'll do a certain behavior for a while and see how I feel. And then I'll do a different behavior and see how I feel. I'm always trying to try and see what's best and see what can make me feel the best. So yeah, it's this. I just don't want to feel like a bag of shit. I don't want two things. I don't want to feel like a bag of shit. I know that optimism and general positivity, I know all we do is complain on this podcast, but generally I'm a reasonably optimistic person. I don't wallow in misery. All of those things are definitely helped by me being fit and healthy. And there is 100% a connection between a healthy body and a healthy mind. 100%. And I'm fairly sure that there is like evidential fucking proof of that. I'm sure there is I've read something recently. It might have been Thingy. What's his name? Raw Egg Nationalist. Might have been something that
proof
he shared.
What?
Proof of obesity and IQ.
What, that they're related?
Certainly studies.
Or that obesity impacts IQ?
Yes. So basically, as in, maybe not, was it IQ or was it just like intelligent performance? Maybe that's the same thing. But basically, if you got fat, your cognitive ability was less than someone who wasn't fat.
So as
you put weight, of course it does. Yeah. As your physical body has more stress on it by fucking dealing with this monstrosity that you're dragging around with you, your brain stops working as well. So fat and stupid might actually be a thing.
Well, it makes total sense.
Of course it does.
Because it's not just stress factor. It's things like, it's not just a stress factor. It's like, okay, what other things that go into, it's not like fat creates bad IQ. It's like what creates fat people? Poor lifestyles. Now, disregarding medical issues, right? That create it. And nothing else causes it. Poor lifestyle choices, bad genetics, you know, or not the great, I say bad genetics, not lucky genetics, right? Not the luckiest. Poor lifestyle choices, poor work-life routine, lack of physical activity. And then all of those, it's not like fat creates, I know what you're saying, I'm articulating for people.
Yeah.
So all these things play into it. And it makes total sense that, so what it sounds like, it could be, so if I am who I am now, let's say my IQ is, I don't know, call it 100. Then let's say in 2 years' time, I have completely let things slip because of stress, depression, whatever, and I become fat. I would put my money on it that I am less intelligent than I am now. I'm more stupid than I am now. Definitely.
Yeah.
Again, from the lessons learned over peaks and troughs of levels of fitness intensity over the years. I know I start switching off when I don't do fizz.
And this is not, it isn't like a, it's, I don't, this isn't something intrinsic, if you know what I mean, as in like not reversible. So it is, I don't think this is like you become a fucking fat mess and that's you fucked now. Your brain's just fucking melted and you can't come back from it. It's just that the machine you've got is not working as well. So you need to take steps to get it back to working in peak performance. And like you were saying there, all that stuff is a downward spiral. It all affects each other. Once you get stuck on it, everything is potentially going to get worse unless you take steps to reverse it.
And then it's like, and this isn't, I don't think I'm saying everyone needs to be like me and you build, as in, not fat and slim, like we just got that body frame, right? We're lucky to have it. It's like what is fat compared to what your baseline should be? You know, you can, I think the aim should be just be active. just be active regularly. That's it. And your body will be active and try and eat well most of the time. And your body will come to whatever its healthy baseline is. You know, and that may be where you appear to be fatter than what I look, right? And I ain't skinny. I've got fat on me, but you appear to be fatter than what I am. We could be equal in health, equal in fizz, equal in cutting capability. We just look different because of different body shapes and sizes. But just be active and try and eat healthy as much as you can. Yeah. But don't be miserable in the process. Like, you don't need to go to the gym at 5 a.m. every morning for 2 or 3 hours to make yourself feel better. You're going to feel worse. You don't need to eat all perfect foods, however you define perfect foods, 7 days a week, 30 days in the month, fucking 365 days a year, because you'll be miserable because you're missing out on nice stuff like chocolate gatto and donuts. Indulge something. What do you indulge in? What's your cheat food, Gaz?
Don't really have one. Like, I don't do.
I fucking knew you were going to say that. I knew. No, it. I'm a loser.
I'm not a good example, dude. I'm not a good example of anything. One of the reasons I have this, like, I don't give a fuck attitude, because I'm completely okay with the fact that I'm not normal. Not like other people. I don't think the same as other people. Obviously, there's crossover. I have normal things about me, but I don't see the world the same way everybody else does.
That's you making an assumption.
Well, no, I'm sure there's crossover. I'm not fucking a special, unique little flower. But on most things, I'm not normal. You know, I have loads of behavior attributes that, and my initial reaction to things internally is probably not the same as what most people is.
Give me an example. Give me a recent example.
Nah, I've been fucking prison. Yeah. But I know all the things. I have a high level of, like, self-knowledge. I know myself. I know all the fucking bullshit about myself. I know my flaws are. I know all that stuff. So when I'm saying I don't really have a cheat thing, like, I probably don't. Like, if you... Maybe pizza. Maybe a pizza, if I was going to do something like that. But I don't see it like that. Like, I just, every now and then, feel I haven't had one since I've been here, which is actually, it's killing me that. My idea of a pizza isn't even what most people's idea of a pizza is. Like, what I like on a pizza, you probably wouldn't eat. It's just things that I like on a pizza base.
Well, say it. What is it?
I would have all sorts of shit on there. Just all meat, all cheese. I have anchovies, just a big, that's, rich,
I like
meaty,
that.
Salty mess. Okay, that's fine. But I, if I gave you my pizza, you might not like it. So most people wouldn't like it. Anyway, yeah, I don't really have like a vice in that way.
I made a big mistake with anchovies on pizza once. I got a vice.
Go on.
I had a chicken and bacon, thing from, I think, the Domino's or somewhere else, and I asked them to add anchovies. Anchovies do not go well with chicken and bacon. It fucking ruined it.
Okay. Yeah. The thing is, there's another reason why I'm not a good person to talk to about food. I don't have a sense of smell, which means that my taste buds don't work in the same way that yours do. So I can eat things that most people would go, that's fucking, like, my Mrs. Dry is, like, she fucking hates it about me. And she looks and goes, how the fuck can you eat that? I was like, well, it's fine. Like, for me, it's a lot more about, like, mouthfeel and, yeah. Like, I can taste things, but I guarantee I don't get any subtlety. So I guarantee I like very strong flavors. So I like things like Marmite, I like anchovies, I like blue cheese.
You sound like that. When you're describing yourself, I'm imagining that you are like, this is what an alien would say if they came down and you'd been put into a human body. And you're like, what's it like in a human body? Well, I'm not the same as everyone else. I think different. You describe me as a sociopath. I don't, my sense of smell doesn't work properly. I haven't connected that properly. So I like things that other people don't like. Thoughts that I have may get me into jail on this planet. You like, Definitely. You may not be on this planet, guys. You may have come down here. Like, Scientology may be true, and you may be the original being.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, but it's just it. I have lots of very dysfunctional things about me. But I know I do. And I don't care. It's fine. You know what I mean? That's why whenever I get messages on from the Snake profile occasionally with people fucking blowing smoke up my ass about stuff, I always say pretty much the same things, like, I'm not a fucking good person. I just know how to act like a good person. You know what I mean? I know how to get through, not in any sort of massively fake way. It's just that I know a lot about myself, and I'm completely honest about what I'm like. Because it doesn't pay to do anything else. It doesn't pay to pretend that, you know, there's just lots of things that are skewed off the normality thing. I suppose, like, why are we talking about the men's health thing and just the health thing in general? We could do the TRT thing, couldn't we? We could talk about that.
The what thing?
Well, low testosterone and stuff in men. We could talk about that. Okay. We mentioned that in a previous episode. I had quite a few messages off guys saying we should talk about it. Because I think it's really important. I put a thing on the SEG stories yesterday asking for, saying we were going to re-record today. We've been having loads of sound issues recently. It's been licking me out. I've been very frustrated about it. And we recorded yesterday morning, and the sounds was fucking up again. So we're re-recording now. But I put a thing on the stories yesterday asking for subjects. Like, is there anything you particularly like us to talk about? And I'm sorry if you replied to that. There's a few people replied to it. And it was all stuff that I don't know anything about. It's like, can you talk about this? Can you talk about this? I don't know anything about that. The guy asking about what we can do about child trafficking. And I was like, I don't know anything about child trafficking. Sorry. Can't talk about that, really. Like, oh, you know, they can't. I don't know anything about it. There's another guy talking about asking about DEI within workplaces and things like that, and people getting into positions of responsibility that they shouldn't be in. We've kind of spoken about that in the past. We don't need to go back over that. But yeah, anyway. So I think it's starting to come to the fore, and I'm glad. I think a lot of there's been a bigger focus on, like, male mental health, I think, over the past probably approaching 10 years, I'd say. Certainly 5 years. And there's all sorts of reasons for that. Obviously, people within our fucking, who have our background, have all sorts of, you know, PTSD type stuff. And it's not necessarily that in most cases, I would say. Maybe I'm talking shit. When you get to a certain age, your hormones can go to shit. Happens to women. You know, menopause is something that is completely, you know, it's normal. It's a thing that happens to women, and they go on HRT, hormone replacement therapy, in order to help with some of the symptoms of that happening to them. And that's completely accepted. Totally normal. Now, there's all sorts of upsides and downsides to that treatment. But it isn't quite so much of a thing for men. Now, as you get older, it seems that your testosterone levels, your hormones, go out of whack, and you can end up with low testosterone. Now, you might not have mega levels of testosterone. I think generally testosterone levels in men have been going down for a very long time now. So I think there's studies about it, isn't there, where the sort of the level of testosterone of the average man is very low now compared to what it was, you know, 50-100 years ago. And the way it affects you, and when I'm talking about this, I'm talking from personal experience. So I've been on TRT in the past. This is only because I recognize certain things about myself. So I recognize these symptoms in myself and started to look at it. So the weight gain is one. The finding it very difficult to put any sort of muscle on and keep muscle tone and keep muscle on. And they're like general sort of weakness and just meh. But the more important ones are like the psychological things. So like brain fog is a big one. Just the inability to focus on one thing and think straight and have continuous sort of, you know, focused thinking on a topic. Malaise, they're just general, can't be fucking bothered. This is really difficult. Depression. Getting like not. I have depression in my family. And my brother has it. My mum had it really badly. But just general. Everything's terrible. I can't get over this. Why am I bothering? And then another bit of just. This will sound odd. Not just not feeling like a man. Just not all the kind of things that I can only describe from having felt like that and then getting my levels back again. The difference in how I feel is night and day. And I can only describe that as like when your levels are back to normal, feeling more like a man does. And you can only know what that feels like if you are a man. So if you're a girl, like listening to this, you know, maybe you know what this is like from feeling like a woman and having HRT or something like that. But the reason I think it's important is because I fucking guarantee you a lot of male suicide is because of this. Because it can be fucking debilitating. Oh, and obviously, the other side of it is libido and your dick working. It can completely fucking stop working. Now, I had a phase where it was like that. You know what I mean? It's just like struggling to get a fucking hard on. It's like, Jesus Christ. I like my missus not unattractive and like struggling. And you just look at yourself and go, what the fuck is going on here? And it's embarrassing. I guarantee you there are fucking, obviously I don't know how many people have listened to this, but if this was broadcast like internationally, there would be thousands of men who would be going, yeah, I know what that feels like. I don't do anything about it because maybe they don't know what it is. Go on.
No, I was going to say there's also men listening to this who you hear mentioning hard on, they will get a hard on. Now there are people listening to you talk about this with hard-ons. I just want you to think about that while you're carrying on with this important information. With this important information. I don't, by the way. I'm completely flaccid right now.
There's a lot of dick talk in this. Yeah.
This got real weird real quick.
Yeah. But no, right. So this is it's the important thing, and I guarantee you that I would imagine it gets misdiagnosed a lot. So you may go to a doctor and talk about these things. As soon as you start talking about depression and things like that, and feeling depressed and feeling down, they don't go, traditionally anyway, they don't go for men. They don't go, oh shit, your hormone levels are out of whack. Maybe you've got low testosterone. Let's do a testosterone test.
A decent doctor does. Or a doctor who isn't under shitloads of pressure or targets they have to hit.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So. And you might end up on some sort of antidepressant medication, which will make you worse.
Make you worse, yeah.
So if you've got, it'll make all of those things worse. So, yeah, I would, if you're someone from our background as well, you may end up, you know, you get a shit doctor, then saying you've got PTSD or something like that, and it's from your previous service. It might be. But it probably isn't. It's probably something to do with your fucking hormone levels. Before you go down those roads, you should be looking at this stuff. And obviously, there's lots of things you can do to naturally raise your hormone levels. Exercise is one of them. you know, doing leg day. That's a thing. There's lots of things you can eat which support your endocrine system and help your levels. But over time, as a man, your levels are probably going to go down. And I would just encourage you to get tested. You can do tests online now. They cost about 40 quid, I think. You do a test online, come back, and you can then go in. I think you can then go and get it prescribed on the NHS if it's particularly low. But you can certainly, if you have a test that shows you have low levels, you can buy it online. You can buy testosterone replacement therapy online. And it does work. There's various ways to do it. Like you can, I mean, yeah, it does work. Most of the time it's like a gel that you just put on your skin. And it's a bit of a ball, like, because yeah, you have to like you can't wear clothes over it for a while till it dries and all that stuff. But I guarantee you within, you know, a week or so of starting it, you will start to feel like yourself again. And it is life changing. Totally fucking life changing. You know? And you shouldn't feel fucking bad about it. You should not feel bad about it. You shouldn't feel any less of a fucking, I don't feel like a man because I'm having to do artificial fucking hormones. Just stop being a fucking dick. Like, you can get back to feeling like yourself again. So yeah, there's my piece on TRT.
There's a great book by a guy called Jeff Foster, Dr. Jeff Foster. I interviewed him a couple of years back because of this book. If you don't mind me plugging it, because it'll be useful on this. The book is called Man Alive. Now he's a GP, but he's a GP with a special interest in men's health. And the book is called Man Alive: The Health Problems Men Face and How to Fix Them. And I read this book before I interviewed him. It's not the kind of book that you would read like cover to cover. It's not a novel, right? It is a bunch of chapters, and each chapter focuses on common health problems men face. That includes baldness, right? Beard and head, yeah? It includes depression. It includes heart disease. It includes prostate cancer. It includes one of the things it includes in there is testosterone deficiency. And the idea with the book is, you know, if you want to learn about something, you can read it cover to cover like I did. I learned a shitload in there. But if you listen to Gaz now, and you know, you can go on Google. You can also grab Jeff's book, Amazon's cheapest chips. I highly recommend it for all of these things. You'll learn a great insight into it, and it will also explain more on what Gaz is saying about you don't need to feel any less of a man because you've got a hormone deficiency. In essence, is what it is, because there's something wrong with your body. Not you as a bloke. So I highly recommend it. Man Alive by Jeff Foster. But yeah, I thought I had testosterone issues at one point. I ended up getting blood work done and it all seemed normal. But that was the first blood work I had done. So there was no baseline for me beforehand.
Yeah.
But I've been fine since. And that was a libido thing. It was a libido thing, but it was to do with depression, is what it was, really.
Yeah.
You can get your blood work done at like a normal GP. If you think you've got issues, you can go and get it, or you can pay for it. And it's a really good thing to get done anyway. Go and get it done, if you're concerned or think I need to like keep an eye on this for the future, go and get your blood work done now. But try and get the full works done, everything, not just like testosterone, but all the other stuff, the full package. It is worth doing privately if you can. You only have to do it privately once, get that full readout, because that will really aid you with bog standard NHS GP down the line. Hey, I think I'm not very well. By the way, if you're going to do blood tests, here's the baseline I was at 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was totally fit and healthy. Well worth doing.
Yeah, totally. I did the same thing. I had, I pay for private healthcare in the UK, have done for ages. Well, basically, since both my parents died of cancer. So, once that happened, I was like, right, okay, I'm probably going to get this at some point, potentially. So, I need to make sure I've got access to good cancer healthcare. So, I'm just going to bite the bullet and pay, 40, 50 quid a month or whatever I pay. To be able to get private. And as part of that, I got all my blood work done. And it was handy because I did. I got a lot of baseline. And I was at peak carnivore at the time. So a lot of the arguments about what the you know people say the bad side of eating like that are, I could put them to bed. Because I can say, look, here's all my fucking blood work. Everything's great. But yeah, like once you've, like I'm at the point now, I'm back on it again now. And that's purely because I know what it feels like now when, like I recognize it myself when my levels are going low. Because it's not like you won't do it once and you'll be fixed forever. You might have a period where you'll be okay for a while. It's like, think of it as like a jump starter. This might just be me. But yeah, you can be on it for a bit and then stop. And then you're okay for a while. And then you might start again. So I'm back on it again now, purely because I recognize the symptoms of myself again. I was just getting a bit meh, couldn't fucking focus on anything. Didn't feel proactive. Didn't feel like, right, fuck it, let's go and do this. Like how I feel as I know that it's normal for me. So yeah, I found somewhere to get it here. And you can get it very easily here. And did it. And I'm back on and I feel fucking good again. So yeah, just definitely think about it. And if you are someone who wants to tap me up about this, then, you know, I can tell you more about my experience with it. That is absolutely fine. But just don't accept the fact that as you get older, I think this is just a general point for life. Don't accept that as you get older, you have to just turn into a mush. This blob survival thing. You really don't. But it takes effort. Even the effort of caring about yourself just takes effort to do.
Yeah. It's definitely a mindset that automatically creeps in. I've caught it on myself. Since I turned 40, I've caught it on myself a couple of times. Like, oh, I better not do that because I'm getting older. I lit in my head. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You can do it, so keep doing it. It's you know, it's like no other reason than, oh, I need to be careful. No, I'm going to keep doing as much as I can within reason, as long as I can do that. While I've got two arms, two limbs, my fucking lungs are working. Yeah, here's a tangent. Have you ever seen how small lungs are in real life? Those diagrams, mate, in biology class, where your lungs look massive, is absolute rubbish. Rubbish. And there's an Instagram account, right, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's a guy. Who is it, Instagram or TikTok? It's a guy who he basically talks through anatomy, but he uses cadavers.
Yeah.
Right. And he was shot as in dried cadavers. And there's one in the videos and he's showing the lungs. I thought they were lungs from like a little kid. They were lungs from an adult, mate. And they can't have been any bigger than, I don't know. They were smaller than a kettle. An iron. It was smaller than iron, maybe half the size of an iron. They were like this, for people can't see who are listening, but they were small. I couldn't believe it.
But they're empty though, aren't they? They got no blood or air in them.
No, they were, yeah, true. That's true, actually. God's sake. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're fucking empty, aren't they? They've got their air in them. It's like, see this balloon? See how tiny this balloon is? It's like, yeah, no one's fucking blown it up yet, you. Jesus
Christ. I'm so switched on because I do Fizz. I'm so switched on because I do Fizz.
I know. You've got the TRT.
Yeah.
I was hoping, when you started talking about that, I was hoping he's like, yeah, but he's going to say something and it's going to like counteract. And then I won't have to tell him that it's got no air in.
They looked like they had a bit of air in. They weren't stretched. They were like half-blown balloon. Anyway.
Well, we managed to get through the whole thing talking about dicks and fucking and testosterone and hormones and shit. But I hope... If you've listened to this, it's a nice change from us talking about all the other shit. But I'll end on, we can end on talk on a similar fucking topic. Nothing about the current state of the world and policies that are put in place wants you to be doing the things that me and Hugh have just spoken about. don't get, like, people don't want you to be fit, healthy, fucking mega cognitively active and fucking at peak performance.
It's not good for profit.
They really don't. It's not.
It's not good for people's profit.
It's not. Now, I'm sure that the whole hormone thing, there's an industry starting to be created about that. And I'm sure that, and if some of that is fucking aligned with some sketchy, the sketchy side of the trans shit. But hormones are going to be more of an industry, I think. There's a lot of private stuff. There's that fucking guy. Rogan always has him on, doesn't he? That Ways to Well guy. Anything with him on is a very good listen because he understands the pharmaceutical industry fucking back to front because he used to work in it. He now makes a good living squaring people away with the hormones and just, you know, general private healthcare needs. But yeah. People in power never want you to be strong. They always want you to be a weak fucking mess. So looking after your health is actually quite a fucking counterculture thing to do, in my view, anyway. Yeah. So we'll end with that. We got a little glimmer of tinfoil at the end there, just to keep people happy.
keep things normal.
Yeah, keep things on brand. Anything else you want to finish off with?
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to finding out in a future episode which planet you came from.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm from here. Obviously, something just went wrong at some point.
Oh, are we going to do one from your gaff when I get out there?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. We'll do one here, and it'll be weird.
We could do a live. Could do a live from there.
That's probably a good idea. Yeah. Well, we'll try and work out which day we're going to do that close to the time, and, you know, publicize it a little bit to try and get more people. That'd be quite good.
Yeah, sound.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you for listening. We've had some more subscribers recently, which is good. It's all good. If you are paying for this, thank you. I appreciate it. Hugh doesn't because he doesn't get any money. It's just me. But, well, if more people pay, I might give you some money.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Yeah, we don't get much money, dude. It's not like we're not fucking rich off this. So basically,
you're making out like I've had a grievance about this in behind the scenes. I haven't. You need your TRT money.
I do need my TRT money. That's a fact. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I will. If you're thinking about it and going, I can't afford it, you fucking can afford it. You fucking can afford it. It's not super expensive. And I guarantee you, you fucking drink. If you are a drinker, you spend that money. Or if you're a smoker, you spend that fucking money. Fucking 3, 4, 5 fold. Just get your fucking hormones checked, square yourself away. But yeah, thank you for paying for it. We do appreciate it. I apologize for any sound issues recently. We are trying to get on top of it and have it fucking a regular fucking squared away thing. But
I mentioned Jeff Foster's book. For people who don't read, then I did do an interview with him on the same subject. So just look for Jeff Foster Hauer and you'll find it.
Cool. Yeah. Right.
Cheers, mate. Well, cheers, people. Thank you for listening.
See you later.
Bye.
I'm going to go to the sauna and look at some dicks.
Yeah. Bye.